Well, good morning. It's good to be in Bark River Bible Church. You're here. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. I was driving in this morning from Iron River, and I was thinking of Colossians 3, 1 to 4, and that's what Sunday school was all about, plus chapter 2 and a little bit further on. So I love Sunday school. I invite you to come out to that. Some of the ladies will remember the words that changed your life, right? I'm expecting. Some of you remember those days. I spoke with several mothers this last week, and what was that like? So, yeah, I'm expecting. I grew up in California. Speaking of Mother's Day, I grew up in California, and it's not like it was now. Remember back in the days of Ronald Reagan, and it was just different. So I went to the same high school as the Beach Boys, a couple of years later than them. And then I went to the same college as Jimmy Stewart's son. And he came and talked to us one evening there, so made some good movies. But it was special sometimes on Mother's Day to go to Knott's Berry Farm. And they would have famous chicken dinners, and they would sell hundreds and thousands of chicken dinners on that day. It was a bad day to be a chicken. So, but we would have to wait for half an hour, maybe an hour. I remember one time it was an hour and a half waiting to get into the restaurant there. It was a very popular spot. And the Sons of the Pioneers every once in a while were there to sing, and they had the covered wagons there, and I had Alexa. Some of you have an Alexa. I said, play some Songs of the Pioneers. And she did that. And it came across, I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. Yippee-i-yo, kaye, kaye. Some of you haven't heard those words in a long time, and I hadn't either. So there's a psalm that speaks of family and motherhood. It's Psalm 127, and I'll be in it a little bit to begin. It mentions three human activities highlighted by God. And I'm going to try this out this morning. Let's see how this works. It's working. That's good. I always like that when you're up front as a speaker, everything's working. Okay, Psalm 127 and verse 1, it says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So number one is building. We do a lot of building. You've done building on houses and establishments in town. And it's possible that Solomon wrote this psalm. We don't know for sure, but he did obviously the building of the temple and a lot of other things. And then it speaks of security. Do we need security in the United States where we see lawlessness going on around us? We see lawlessness at the end times in the Bible. We never would have thought it would be in like my lifetime. I am surprised like you are. There's a Jewish man that has an account on the social media, Yair Pinto. Maybe you've come across him, but he has his perspective as a Jewish person who is also a Christian in Israel. And he makes the point, we don't trust in our military. We don't trust in our bombs and so forth. He says, we trust in the Lord. So that's the perspective you see in Psalm 127, and it is a correct one. In verse 3, that's verse 2. All right. And we go on to verse 3. All right. Behold, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. So family and children our heritage of the Lord. We don't believe that anymore. Our country exalts abortion, single-parent homes, and sometimes you don't have a choice about that, but it doesn't work as well as the pattern that God established. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Maybe you remember that verse that Jesus said in Psalm 16 and verse 15, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You remember Romans chapter 1, and it's just a disaster from the beginning and the rebellion of man again and again and again. It's downhill all the way, and God gives the people what they want. And we see that in the United States where we say, we want this and we want that. And God said, all right, I'm going to give it to you. Go ahead. And we're there. So speaking of children, I have been praying for Child Evangelism Fellowship for some time. Do you guys support Trish Gustafson? Okay, I didn't know. But she has a prayer meeting on Monday nights, and we've been praying for someone to take over for Amy from Bark River. So I don't know how that's progressing, but I'm praying for you. Someone to do child evangelism in the schools to take her place. And Jesus said to pray for laborers, didn't he? So there's an open door. It's a wonderful door where a person can go into schools and the kids hear the gospel. Many have been saved. It's such a ripe age for evangelism. Now, I can't remember when I've ever had a three-point outline consisting of only one word, but you've got it. It's in your bulletin there. And it just came to me kind of quickly. So I want to make the analogy that Bark River is expecting a new pastor. And I hope you've started to pray for him like I have. And you want God to send someone that will take you forward on your spiritual journey. So the first word I want you to think about is the word reflection. Reflection. Okay, so we're going to reflect on some things. It's a tough transition for a pastor, but for a church too. You go through a time when you have a pastor and then you don't have a pastor for a period of time. I understand that's challenging. That's difficult there. And with each of these one words, I'm going to put another word along with it, kind of a should be reminder thing. And that word is appreciation. So as you're reflecting in the past, we need to think about the appreciation for your pastor, for a lot of things in your life as you look back. I had a wonderful, loving relationship with my wife for 46 years, but I'm in a new phase of life now. I loved living with my mom until she died at age 97 last year, but I'm in a new phase now. So we either adapt or we become irrelevant in life. I know those who have lost their mates and they're just kind of frozen in place. But our mission as Christians is to move forward and glorify God. We did it with the songs. We did it with our prayers. We need to do it with our lives there. And that brings glory to God, not just existing. Reflection about, yeah, the good old days. Okay, good memories. Some of you have not had any other pastor than Pastor Brad. I mean, he was here over 20 years. That's a long time. I had a survey that I read, and it said the average tenure of a pastor in a church is a little over 4 years. And the number of pastors that stay beyond 10 years is 3%. So you've had a good pastor. You've been blessed. Now, everything has to end. Church is in. Marriage is in. Our country's going to end someday. We know that from reading the Bible. So we try to keep those things going as calmly as we can. But nothing is permanent. Only what we do in serving the Lord Jesus Christ is permanent. I think I heard something like that in Sunday school, too. I was just tracking. Sunday school was so good this morning. So you can be thankful that you have a part in a good church. I was thinking, people that I've known, Pastor Brad, here for a long time, Pastor Hillebrand, and Pastor Baker. I guess you could say they're all three still serving the Lord, different ways. Yeah, good friends there. And it's not easy to leave a church. There's a lot of emotions. There was a lot of tears for me. I've been through that. The old church needs some direction. I am friends with Brother Dave Bauer from Bible Related Ministries. I know some of you know him too. I always remember him suggesting that the old church continue financial support for the old pastor for a period of time as he seeks new direction. That's a good idea. And just drop the Cochran's a note of appreciation. Maybe there's something particular that you remember that meant something significant that they were a part of there. And by all means, pray for them. Pastor and Becky, they need your prayers right now, I'm sure, whatever's going on in their lives there. So we have reflection, and along with that should be appreciation. Let's go on to the next word, and you already know it because it's in your bulletin. And that is anticipation. So you're anticipating something, and the word that goes along with that is hope. Don't you love to have hope? I was talking this morning. Don't you love to have hope? Okay, just wondered. I was talking to someone this morning, you know, about the people in the world that are unsaved. They have no hope. There's no hope. You know, life is it, and that's it. Nope. And maybe you're wondering if it can be good again. Or a woman that's going to have a baby. You know, that's a huge change in life. Going to have a baby. My life is about to change for the next 20 years. Actually, it's beyond that. Yeah, I know. And God loves to give his people hope. God loves that word hope. I've been reading in the prophets through Ezekiel, Jeremiah, in that area of the Bible right now in my Bible reading. And I started listening to a series that Pastor Wes had on Jeremiah. It's online. And even in the book of Jeremiah, going into captivity in Babylon, there was some verses on hope. Some good verses there. So God loves to lead us into the eternal hope, the ultimate hope there. And we talked about that before in Psalm 16. But I'm going to focus on the short term today. That's what you need, is hope in the short term, hope in your lifetime. One of the best illustrations that I know of about anticipation is I look out my window in the backyard, and it's kind of pretty. It's about an acre of land is where I live, and it's in the city, but it's kind of isolated just a little bit on all four sides there. So I look out my back window, and this last winter, there's a whole string of deer looking at me with their big brown eyes. They had anticipation that someone was going to come and feed them. And as I looked at their eyes, I had to go out and feed them. So it did work. You know, there's a prayer in the Bible not too far away from that. And it's in Psalm 123 and verse 2. As a maid looks to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he have mercy on us. And when the new pastor comes, and it might take a while, you know, for a baby, 9 months-ish, but for a pastor, don't know. Just one word of warning, don't compare the new one with the old one. They're different. They're going to be different. Different emphases, different a lot of things there. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, don't judge anything until the time. God will take care of everything. So we need to know that, and we need to be motivated in our own lives by that. However, it's interesting. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about Christians judging angels. So we'll find out what that's all about. Now, I've been praying for your new pastor. Some of you have been praying for your new pastor, and that's good. Amen. The ultimate future should encourage us now. I've spoken about this before. As you look far away, motivates us now. And Jesus was motivated by the ultimate as well. In Hebrews 12:2, it talks about the joy that was set before him. Got him through the cross and that whole cross experience there. What a hard time. So, reflection should bring about appreciation. Anticipation should bring about hope. And that leads us to preparation. Well, that's what we need to do right now. And the word that goes along with that is work. Don't you just love to work? You know, God gave Adam and Eve work to do, didn't he? And it's not like today, maybe it's going to be really good. But anyway, we should work for him now. Everyone here, if this is your home church, should be saying, I need to do my part to make this church good right now. And so when a woman's about to have a baby, she's probably thinking, you know, I don't think like that, but I would guess, I don't know if I'm ready. I need to get ready. So there's showers and cards and well wishes and lots of advice, I would guess, from friends and so forth. And there's a spiritual preparation as well for a church, a spiritual preparation that says, I need to do the work of the ministry. Everybody does. We need to live in the present, not in the future where we just daydream until it happens, not in the past. Oh, that was so good. I didn't appreciate how good it was at the time. Every period of life is different and has its pluses and minuses. You have that in all of your lives as well. I don't pine away about the past, and I don't stress out over the future. I've seen people think so much about the future that they're not doing anything right now. We need to do as well as think about heavenly things. So how can you as a church live in the present? Pastor Brad has founded you upon a good foundation, and that's how you're to live now. What do you need? You need personal integrity, like we always do. But there's not a lot of that in our country. It seemed like there was a lot more of that years ago. But you know the basics. We confess our sin. We seek repentance, we live righteously, we do evangelism, that was mentioned in Sunday school, and discipleship, that was mentioned as well. So we need to be the kind of people that God would be pleased to give a good pastor to that church. For a mother, how does she get ready for a baby? Well, you know, the obvious things, good nutrition, you're going to eat better. You start thinking about everything you eat, and maybe there's some things you need to give up for a period of time, or forever maybe. The church is two commandments, right? Two basics, love God, love people. It's not that hard. That's what God said to do. So as we're moving forward in life, that needs to be our emphasis there. God and people there. A time of waiting, 9 months versus however long it's going to be. Can't make any promises. But it's a time of vigilance that we need to be vigilant. And it's a time of a diet, repentance, holiness, integrity, especially among the leaders, but for all the people, everyone. If this is your church home, this means you. God wants you to be a for sure Christian, not a hope-so Christian. You know what I mean? So you need to realize you're a sinner. You need to realize there's nothing you can do to pay for that sin that you've done. You need to realize that Jesus has already paid the price that you owe. And then you receive Jesus as your Savior from God's wrath. We talk about him being the Savior. Savior from what? Savior from God's wrath to come. Mothers know that having a baby means 20 plus years of work. But becoming a Christian means that we need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that should be. Not something, oh, got to do it. No, it's a privilege. It's a joy. When you love someone, you want to serve them. If a person has no desire to serve Christ, if a person does not want to obey, they ought to question whether they even are a Christian. So that is our great privilege. Make God number one. Not number two, not number three. He is number one. One thing that we need to do is 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So that's what God says. Here's the question for you. Are you going to do it? There are some people claim to be Christians that go quite a bit of a period of time without personally reading their Bible. So we need to read it like those newborn babies. You've seen the babies. They're hungry. They cry if they don't get fed. Do we cry like that when we don't get enough Bible? So I'm so grouchy today. I haven't had enough Bible. We need to be a little bit more like those babies, not the grouchy part. It's not just a matter of waiting. We need to do something now. When you're expectant, the mother is extra careful what she eats. And you need to be extra holy, extra prayers for God to send his next right man to you. Now, in the USA, I don't need to remind you that we're in perilous times here. And it's getting more perilous all the time. I look up in internet in the mornings and I find out, oh, we're still only involved in two wars so far, so that's good. But it's crazy out there. We have inflation. We've gone through a pandemic. And we've gone through debts and immigration crisis and on happening in our countries there. And I think God's trying to get our attention. You find those kinds of things in the Old Testament. Has God got our attention yet? I don't hear very much from Washington about, we need to pray, folks. We're in perilous times and we need to pray. I don't hear that too much. Well, does God have your attention as citizens of the United States, as perhaps members of Bark River Bible Church? I'm going to look at the scriptures of the older women. This is Mother's Day, so the older women are examples to us. Some widows, a pattern to us all. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5 says that the woman that is pleasing to God trust in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Well, that's a good pattern for us. The Bible says that men also should pray, 1 Timothy 2:8. Pray for your next pastor. He may be leaving a difficult situation, a difficult church, and needs to be healed. He may be graduating from Bible college. He may have some other issues that need to be repented of or dealt with. He may be in a situation right now that's good and just wants a different situation that God is leading. So we'll find out. Pray for God's best. Pray as if your soul depended upon it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, it says that this woman that pleases God has diligently followed every good work. I've heard people say a lot lately, he said, well, I'm still alive. I guess God still has a purpose for me. Have you heard that one? Well, it says here that she should be filled with good works. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as Christians? Yeah, God has a purpose for us. We're supposed to do good works. In fact, do you know who is to be the pattern of good works? You could guess, but the pattern of good works is the young men. That's what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. So you young men, you are told in the Bible to be a pattern of good works. And then chapter 2 and 14 of Titus, it says we're to be zealous of good works. So you put those words together about works. We're to be diligent. We're to be a pattern. We're to be zealous. I get the point, God. You take this seriously, and we're really supposed to do it. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, there's a word to the older women, and it says that they are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Boy, is that old-fashioned and countercultural. We don't hear a lot of that anymore. MacArthur says that modern feminism is neither new nor progressive. It is age-old and regressive. You know, it's okay for a woman to be a jet pilot. If you want to be a jet pilot, fine. If you want to be an astronaut, all right. But what we need in our culture is mothers that will raise up godly children, whose responsibility is it to teach the younger children, women that are having babies, the older women. Oh, there's one other thing that's left out there, and that is that women are to be submissive to their own husbands. Boy, that's out of vogue. And the older women are supposed to teach that to the younger women. So is God out of touch with our culture in reminding us of these things? Or is our culture out of touch with God? You know, even in Christian culture, we need to emphasize the things that God emphasizes. He said, this is the way I made you. This is the way I want you to be. And Jesus had it right. The things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God, and vice versa as well. So ladies, take the initiative. Find someone younger than you and try and influence her. The church doesn't need to ask you to be that woman. You have this mandate right here in the scriptures. By the way, some husbands are tough to love. I'm sure I was like that. Some kids are tough to love, but this isn't about feeling and emotions. It's about actions there. We need to do our best to influence those whom God has told us to influence there. So the older ladies teach the younger ones not to nag. It doesn't get you any progress. It doesn't help. Teach them not to be angry. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God, never has. And if you don't do what God says, you're arguing with God, and you always come up on the short end of the stick. So we need to do what God says. And there's other things that we need to do. Pray that as a church, you will be receptive and fertile soil for that new pastor as he comes. That you will be prepared in every way, and now is the time to do these things. In that sense, this church is expecting, all right? We don't know how long it's going to take, but we need to be the kind of men and women that are ready to do the ministry now and move on with reflection, should bring about appreciation, all right? Anticipation should bring about hope. But don't forget the third one. Preparation has to bring about work. And so don't just point your finger at other people and say, you ought to do this. No, it's we ourselves that claim to be Christians. How do you prove that you're a Christian? You show it by doing the things that God has told you to do. It's not about those other people. It's about me and you. Lord willing, we'll see you again in 2 weeks. And if in this interim time, if you have something that you would like me to preach on, I'll consider it. Write out on a little piece of paper with your email and ad and telephone on it, and I'll look at that. Guys, do something nice for the ladies in your life today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the anticipation you've given all of us in those ultimate, eternal things. And now, God, help us to live today faithful to you, to bring you some glory and pleasure. And we'll thank you for this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.